Welcome to part two in the interview with Marian Whitman, in which she talks about the collaboration involved in Asian clam research at Lake Tahoe. Between 2008 and 2011, the Asian clam population increased and their range expanded. As these clams continued to grow, they could have a more serious impact on the future of the lake.
In 2008, my understanding is things really get underway in terms of looking at Asian clams, exploring what they're doing here, how they got here, and how successful they might be in reproducing and carrying on. Mm-hmm. And you were the head of that effort, is that right?
I was a part of that team. So this was made up of researchers from the University of Nevada, Reno, and the University of California, Davis. And so I was just a part of that team, and we worked very closely with the agencies in the basin as well. So I would say that there's, you know, over 20 groups of people working on this project.
Mm-hmm. And actually in our interview with Ted Thayer, he named many of the groups and talked about the complex collaboration that it takes to pull off this research and really address aquatic invasive species, focusing on the Asian clam aspect of that that work. So you started out by looking at doing a survey of their distribution, is that right?
Yeah, we did it's called a benthic survey, and so this is where you go out on a boat and you drop an instrument over the side of the boat and you collect bundles of sediments from the bottom, and that way you can count, you can look for the presence of species and you can count how many species there are. So we had done this survey in the southeastern quadrant of the lake where the clams were observed, and had also gone to just a few other sites around the lake just to look in different regions for the presence of the clam.
Mm-hmm. And between that and subsequent work, what's your conclusion in terms of, I don't know where you left off, 2010 distribution of Asian clam in Lake Tahoe?
Yeah, I left in 2011, so between 2008 and 2011, the Asian clam population in Lake Tahoe increased both in range and also in abundance, or the number of clams that are out there. So I guess I would say that the populations are increasing in Lake Tahoe. But they seem to be really moving continuously. So what I mean by that is that the southeastern quadrant of the lake, where most of the populations are, they're moving just a little bit more west and a little bit more north from that central area, with a few populations showing up in kind of isolated areas like Emerald Bay, for example.
And so is it a concern that their range is expanding, and as you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, their economic and biological ramifications? Is this something, are Asian clams something that really merit more of our time and investment in the range of things that require investment in the environment in Tahoe?
I think different people would answer that question differently. And as an ecologist, as an aquatic ecologist, I would say that yes, Asian clam is something that is currently having an impact on the native biota or the native species of Lake Tahoe. And as they continue to grow in population, they could potentially have more impact in the future. So I guess it's really up to decision makers to really weigh the costs and benefits of treating Asian clam if that's what they want to do. But certainly understanding how Asian clam is impacting the natural ecosystem here, I think, is first and foremost in terms of really approaching the problem, because it's really hard to deal with a problem if you don't really understand the whole thing. So,
So in terms of treating Asian clam, what are some of the approaches that are used?
Most of the time, Asian clam are treated in commercial or industrial settings, because they it's called biofouling when there's so many of them that they kind of clog up systems. So they clog up the movement of water through thermal power plants, for example. And so because of that, there are kind of concentrated areas where they're deposited, which makes it very easy to apply things like pesticide. And so they can use bromine or sometimes chlorine, and they can treat them in a small patch. In natural systems like lakes, they typically can't apply pesticides because there's not enough application time. So you can apply a pesticide to a clam. A clam can close or clam up and then sort of not be susceptible to the impacts of the pesticide. And in a natural lake setting, the area is typically too big and there's water currents that would actually move the pesticide away before the required contact time for the clam to die would be. So in natural systems, they're not usually treated. And so really they're only treated in commercial or industrial settings, mostly because of this difficulty with success.
And in Tahoe, what have you looked at in terms of treatment?
In Tahoe, we've looked at the use of bottom barriers. And what these are, they're sheets that you can lay upon the bottom of the lake. And what they do is they reduce the amount of oxygen that are available to clams. Because clams are very specific, like most species out there, or they're very sensitive to the amount of oxygen that's available in the system for survival. So the idea is to artificially reduce oxygen and then to suffocate them in principle. And so we've experimented with laying out these bottom barriers that reduce the amount of oxygen available to clams. And that has been successful on a relatively small scale. We've applied about an acre of it in the lake. And it's reduced populations by about 99%. And after just 1 year of monitoring, populations are still low, but they are beginning to recolonize.
And is there a dollar figure associated with that kind of treatment?
It's hard to summarize, but there have been some estimates of cost. And for just labor and materials, it's around $2.50 per square meter. But that doesn't reflect the true cost of all of that kind of treatment, because there's more than just labor and materials. There's administrative time, there's research and development time, there's the cost to the environment, there's the cost to ecosystem services as a result of treatment, and none of those things are included in that estimate that I just gave.
So all of these are considerations for the public and for policymakers. In the meantime, just in day-to-day summertime in Lake Tahoe, is there anything for the general public to consider or think about, or ways that the general public can help in minimizing the distribution of Asian clam in Lake Tahoe?
Yeah, I would think that just being informed is really important. So understanding what Asian clam and what other invasive species are and it is the first step. And the second step is to really reduce the spread of species by cleaning off your equipment. So these are things like live wells in boats, boats themselves, fishing equipment or recreational equipment. If you clean these equipment off before you move to another lake or before you come back to Lake Tahoe, that'll reduce the spread of harmful species to the lake.
So even if you don't see a clam, for example, on your fishing gear, they're cleaning it could reduce the potential to transfer it because there might be veligers or smaller forms of the clam in its life cycle.
Right.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Because the juveniles of clams are often not visible to the naked eye, or you'd have to look really hard to be able to see it. So even if you don't see a clam, I would still recommend to clean your equipment because there may be things that you can't see that you're moving around. So,
and cleaning it involves, is there certain things to clean it with? Or
So hot water is always a good thing. So temperatures of greater than 140 degrees for an application time of about a minute and a half. Other people can you can also use diluted chlorine solutions. So you mix chlorine with water and you can spray your boat or spray your equipment with that. And those are really two of the most kind of easily accessible ways to clean off your equipment. The third thing is to make sure that your equipment is dry before you launch your boat or use your equipment in a new lake. And depending on where you live, that could be anywhere from 5 to 14 days, I think, of leaving your equipment out of water so that it completely dries out.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very much, Marianne, for taking the time today and for all your work on aquatic invasive species.
Great. Thanks, Michelle.
This is the end of the two-part interview with Dr. Marianne Whitman. Thank you for listening at TahoeProject.org.